This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It is time for WSMI Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurtz 24 Heavy and Light Duty Towing and Machine Shop in Litchfield. Regional Championship Saturday across Illinois. Here's Tito and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tim Mize. And yes, Regional Championship Saturday. Generally means some pretty good ball games.
More times than not.
We've got some dandy matchups around the area today, Ralph. And I guess when you start talking in terms of baseball and softball, and baseball really is the one sport that is probably the most unpredictable. Because if your star pitcher is off and doesn't have a good day, who knows? It could be a long day.
Well, and plus if your star pitcher pitched, say, in the quarterfinal,
yes.
Maybe he's not available for the semifinal. Mm-hmm. Of course, in softball,
You
just run the ace out there
every game
you play.
It still amazes me. And then I hear that, I understand that, it's more of a natural motion, but it just amazes me that these guys can run them out there every game. Yeah. I mean, Laura Halpin's pitched every game for Gillespie.
She's got every decision.
Every decision.
Stamina,
I mean, and she's not the only one's ever done that, of course.
So. But you're right, it's... should be some good games today, and it boils down to who's got the best pitching or whose pitchers are on and whose are off.
It boils down to not making errors.
Right.
Whoever makes the errors will probably lose the ball game, because that's usually what happens in a big game. It's one inning, maybe a play or two, and boom, it gets away from you.
That's exactly what cost North Mac in the semifinals against Southwestern and Gillespie on what would have been Wednesday. They made an error in the second inning that scored two unearned runs, and they lost by two.
I kind of remember a night or so ago, a big league team from St. Louis making a few misplays in
like
the
three?
Field. Yeah.
Yeah.
Three.
Well, and they cost them last night, too.
Yeah.
And they were boo-boos that a lot of times you see high school kids or little league kids make that play, but the Cardinals didn't.
But isn't that why baseball is so popular, why so many people love it, just from the unpredictable nature of it?
You have basically an infinite number of things that could happen on any given play, because, number one, the field is so much bigger than other sports. Mm. Let's face it. And you have so many fewer people out there covering the area. So, it's a game of inches and maybe even game of millimeters sometimes when it comes to squarely hitting the ball.
You always hear people say about baseball, every time you go to the yard, you might see something you've never seen before. That's not really the case for football and basketball. I mean, if you go to a football game, you pretty much know what you're going to see.
Right.
Same with basketball, but with baseball, who knows?
Yeah.
For instance, case in point on that, Tim, is the other night, if you saw the replay of the rookie, quote-unquote, 49-year-old Jamie Moyer hit a ball about 20 feet and drove in the winning run.
Yeah.
How about that? You think he'll be pitching when he's 50? You've got to try, right?
Oh, he's got to try.
This far, you got to go for it.
Somebody will give him a job.
Absolutely.
Somebody will give him a job at age 50. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a left-hander.
He's the perfect example of if you're left-handed and got a pulse,
he gets the Jesse Orosco Award.
Yeah.
There you go.
Look how long Jesse hung around.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We're talking baseball and softball, but today's also track day. And Sophie Fairman from Staunton, very fine athlete who we've enjoyed for a long time watching her on the basketball court. She's competing in the triple jump and the 400-meter dash finals today at Charleston. Tatum Rosentreter from Gillespie is in the 300-meter hurdle. So good luck to these ladies today as they represent our listening area in the 1A track and field finals.
And a lot of times track and field doesn't get the same attention as the other sports, but I mean, as good as Sophie Fairman was on the basketball court, I don't think you get much debate that track and field is her number one sport.
And you have to remember, when you talk about track and field, every individual, unless you're in relays and stuff, but you're out there competing on what your own talent will give you.
No one to help you.
Yeah, I was just looking through some of the times and distances and so forth, and I was noticing the discus qualifier. I think the qualifier was like the highest The longest distance this year was like 140 feet. And, of course, Kelsey Card tossed it over 167 feet. So.
Yeah, she was probably throwing it 140 feet when she was seven.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And what a career she's having. Oh, man.
She threw a rattler farther than that out of the crib.
So I'm going, wow, 27 yeah. feet. They're not even coming close.
Well, that, and when she was in high school, I mean, that's the margin she was winning by. Yes. I mean, she was crushing people.
Absolutely crushing people. Unbelievable.
It's good to see that she's healthy again. Yes. Of course, she had a bit of an injury problem her senior year, so it's good to see that Kelsey's back 100%, I guess.
Absolutely. Busy day on the radio. It is Regional Championship Saturday. It's all going to be on AM 1540. It's all going to be on the internet. And this time of year, with a lot of things going on, I know we get some nice feedback from friends and relatives from around the country who get a chance to listen to games on the internet when they're out of state, you know, that sort of thing. That's probably one of the big pluses we have here. Not so much regular season, but certainly during postseason. Coming up this morning at 11 o'clock, Gillespie takes on Southwestern in what should be a dynamic softball matchup for you at the Hillsborough Regional. And pregame about 10:50 on AM 1540. Venue switches to Gillespie then. Tim, you and Carl will have the call of the Southwestern Litchfield baseball game against Southwestern. Hot coming into this.
Won 8 of their last 9 ball games. And knocked off the top seed North Mac already. Now they'll get the 2-seed Litchfield.
Now they get the Purple Panthers, who themselves have been playing very good baseball down the stretch.
They've been hot since about late March.
Yeah, yeah. Since the, you know.
Whatever the first day of practice was, they've been hot since then.
Just put those bases out there, fellas, okay?
That's right.
Yeah, I think, 23-4 now, something like that?
23-4.
Yeah.
Litchfield is one of those high school baseball teams who can beat you with good pitching, or they can beat your brains out with good hitting.
Their lineup is so good. Solid. It's so deep.
And they're always talking about looking for outs. It's tough to find an out in Litchfield.
There aren't many.
There really isn't.
There aren't many.
Well, those kids have played together, and there's if you've seen the picture in the local paper of all the seniors, they're going to lose a bunch of guys this time.
Yeah.
They've got power bats.
Yeah.
They've got situational bats. They use all fields. And they got speed once they get on the bases. They are just a well-rounded club.
They really are.
And the big guy, when he's on his game out there on the mound, he gives you a lot of arms and legs, and he's pretty tough.
And he releases the ball halfway to home plate. That's what he does.
They had to pitch Big Dale in the semis, and he threw a lot of pitches. So I'd be surprised if he was available for even in any of work today. But the regional championship, who knows? If you get you got a lead in the seventh,
if you lose,
Coach K might call on him.
That's right.
If you lose today, there's no tomorrow.
That's right. So that's Southwestern Litchfield, 1 o'clock, and then we'll have the broadcast of the Nokomis-Morrisonville game. Nokomis has won 3 out of the last 4 regionals they've been in. Morrisonville's last win, I think, was in 1999. So the Mohawks are looking to step up on their home field today, but the Redskins will have a little bit to say about that, and we'll have that broadcast probably about 3 o'clock this afternoon again. All this stuff on AM 1540 and all of it on the internet at WSMIRadio.com.
So. 3 really good games. See, I'm intrigued by the softball matchup between Gillespie and Southwestern. They just played, 8 days ago, went extra innings.
Yes.
And Southwestern snapped Gillespie's, 15 consecutive victories.
But now you play them one at a time. Yep. And it doesn't make any difference. You know, we talk about records, but you have no record.
Nope.
Every step you take in the postseason, you're 0-0 again.
Yeah.
It's like the coaches who make deep runs in the NCAA tournament. They always talk about, I don't got to win 6 games in a row. I got to win 1 game 6 times.
And actually, they say, we have to win this 4-minute segment. Then we have to win the next 4-minute segment. Then we have to win this 4-minute segment. And the college coaches, you know, very adept at breaking it down to the media timeouts. We have to win this 4-minute segment.
A couple weeks ago on a Cardinal broadcast, it was Rick Horton. I'd never really heard anybody put it like this. He was talking from a starting pitcher perspective. Mm-hmm. When you're playing 9 innings as a starting pitcher, you break it down into 3 3-inning games.
Right.
After you get through the 3rd inning, no matter what the score is, you say, all right, that's done, and you reset for the next 3 innings. You just got to compartmentalize all of it.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at pitchers, everybody's a little different. Go back to the days of Bob Gibson. If you was going to beat Bob Gibson, you had to beat him in the 1st or 2nd inning.
Right.
Then he settled down and it was lights out.
Yeah.
But the first couple of innings, you could actually get to Gibson.
And you know what, Ralph? The elite pitchers today are exactly like that.
Yeah.
If you're going to get him, you're going to get him in the first.
Takes a while to get in the groove. Their curveball pitcher, maybe that ball hangs to the outside or the inside. And a couple of innings later, all of a sudden, it starts dropping.
It's all about
finding
that release point.
It is, it's all about the release point, it's not easy.
No, it's kind of like golf in the sense you can be the best golfer offer in the world. Some days you just don't have it.
Some days you just suck.
You just, you know, it just feels weird some days.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
That's just, sometimes, unfortunately, it happens in the biggest game of the season. There's nothing you can do about it.
And that's just part of being human, and that's what makes sports such an interesting endeavor, because you don't know the variables going in. And there are days that pitchers will tell you they warmed up in the bullpen, major league pitchers, and they didn't have anything in the bullpen, and they came out and pitched a one hitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And likewise, just the opposite happens. They feel great in the bullpen, and they're out in the second inning. So it's crazy. We humans are interesting creatures, aren't we?
Humanoids are odd.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Strange, very, strange, strange. Very. So anyway, great games. By the way, a couple other games for you. In girls 2A softball at Greenville, the Lady Comets are taking on Westland in the championship game there. One regional has been decided in Class 1A. Mulberry Grove defeated Odin at the Odin Regional on Thursday night, 11-1. Mulberry always graduates on Saturday afternoon, so they moved that game up. And in baseball, of course, Southwestern Litchfield, we mentioned. Some other baseball matchups in 1A. You've got the Nokomis-Morrisonville game, and then the winner of the Marquette-Bunker Hill game Wednesday at Blackburn College in Carlinville. The Minutemen are, I think, going for their first regional championship ever.
I can't remember when they ever would have won one.
Yeah.
The Bunker Hill baseball program has, how should we put it, not been good.
It hasn't flourished.
It has not flourished. Yeah. Softball program has always been good, but the baseball team has had some struggles over the years.
And Alan Manschild has been the big guy on the mound, but he pitched the other day. So
that, you know, that's what we were just talking about. That's the trick you run into in baseball postseason is you got to throw your ace. You can't hold them back. I was talking to Rich Stewart, of course, Stewie, the Hillsborough baseball coach, and I guess he was saying he was getting all sorts of questions from the Topper faithful on Monday in the quarters, asking him who he was going to pitch. And he said, I'm pitching Tom Mazzoli. And they were just floored. They couldn't understand why he would pitch their ace then. And like Stewie said, I don't hold pitchers back in the postseason. I never have, never will. Can't do it. He says, what am I holding them back for?
Right.
Summer ball?
Yeah.
You know, if we lose, it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't have two good pitchers, that's a problem. You're going to run into it. That's just the fact of life.
Yeah. You know, an experience that very few people have the opportunity to have, I had last week.
Oh, boy.
I was coming up.
Can we say this on the air, Ralph?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. That's good.
I was coming up the street, and I saw Stewie's truck there at the house that the high school kids have gutted out and are remodeling and going to make a real nice home out of it when they're done. And Stewie was getting out of his truck there, so I stopped, and I said, hey, how about a tour? And he said, sure, come on. So he took me through the house and showed me what they were doing. And there was a time or two I thought I understood what he was talking about.
I remember a few years ago, Toby Dean and I, we were going around. We had to pass out, I remember, some sort of awards. And so we rolled up to one of those houses they were working on, and Stewie was out there. And Matt Hughes was out there, and he was on the roof. And kids were climbing up the ladder, and he was picking them up by one arm and then just pulling them up the rest of the way. It's like, sheesh.
Yeah. Well, it's
he's my friend.
Exactly.
It's an interesting thing they do there with building those homes, and kids are kids that maybe when they started didn't know a hammer from a chainsaw, but they I tell you what, they when they get done with that, it'll be a real nice.
Those
home
are practical
for somebody.
Skills, right there.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, our baseball softball coverage begins about 10:50 this morning on AM 1540, and I'm going to have to exit stage left here very quickly, guys. Have a good game, and we'll have all the finals for you tomorrow morning at 7:30 or 7:45 during the Sunday morning news. I'll have all those for you, all of our track results and all that tomorrow morning at 7:45.
You also have the broadcast schedule.
And the broadcast schedule as well, more than likely. We'll have that put together as well for next week. And most of our teams will be involved in Wednesday games. So it's just a matter of who's going where and what time and that sort of thing. So
big wind up in high school sports as well as high school years with baccalaureate services and graduation services. And
Panhandle graduated last night. Glenwood graduated last night. So
it's all over, and all of a sudden, if you're a senior, you realize, hey, I ain't coming back.
Welcome to reality.
It hits every senior at a different point of the year. And this is usually about the time where the last ones start to realize, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to it long before it was over.
And as Yogi Berra, Yogi Berra always said, it ain't over till it's over.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, this segment is over. We need to go to a break. We'll come back with more Sports Saturday in a moment.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
WSMI and WAOX have an opening at our Litchfield Hillsboro offices for a full-time radio commercial copywriter. Related office work will be part of the position. You must have writing and computer skills, and if you're interested, please phone Nancy to set an interview with Hayward Talley. Talley Broadcasting is an equal opportunity employer. Please phone for an interview by calling 217-532-2066 or 217-324-5921.
This check of WSMI radar weather brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. The radar screen shows nothing in terms of precipitation across mid-Illinois. There's a very thin band of rain showers in the very eastern edges of Kansas, although that is not going to get to us at all, as we are looking at sunshine today and a high of 90. Clear skies tonight with overnight lows in the upper 60s. Our only chance of rain here coming up the next several days is tomorrow, and it's just scattered showers possible tomorrow afternoon. High temps close to 90 degrees. They have taken, well, still some scattered showers, I guess, possible for Sunday night, but when they don't even put the percentage in there, however low it may be, not real encouraging. A low of 60 on Sunday evening. Cooling off Monday, high temps in the mid-70s. Monday night, clear skies, overnight lows in the lower 50s. So the radar screen across mid-Illinois is clear, a temperature reading already of 77 degrees, and a wind from the southeast at 6 miles an hour. This check of WSMI radar weather has been brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro, home of the Big Porky. We do have a boil order in effect for Litchfield residents on Walnut from Ryder to Union. This boil order in effect until further notice, and all boil order information is available online at WSMIRadio.com. 22 minutes past 9 o'clock. Sports Saturday back in 60 seconds.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Outdoor play really burns the calories. Make sure the snacks and treats you serve your children are high in nutrition. When they say they're thirsty, pour big glasses of ice-cold Prairie Farms milk or Prairie Farms chocolate milk. For calorie counters, Prairie Farms 2% or skim milk. And here's another surefire warm weather thirst quencher. 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tim Mize, along with Uncle Ralph. T-Tote has vacated the premise. He is off to Morrisonville, as Terry will have the call of the Morrisonville Regional Championship game between Nokomis and the Mohawks. That'll be the third game of our triple header this afternoon on AM 1540. That's coming up at 10:50 this morning. The Hillsboro softball title game has Gillespie taking on Southwestern live at 10:50. That'll be followed up with the Gillespie baseball regional title game between Litchfield and Southwestern, live coverage at around 12:50. And then the Nokomis-Morrisonville regional title game from Morrisonville will have the broadcast for you at about 3 o'clock this afternoon. All three games on AM 1540, and all three will be streaming online at WSMIRadio.com.
And hats off to our neighbors to the south, Gillespie, who has not only the girls playing in Hillsboro today, but they have the boys playing also.
Well, they're hosting.
Hosting.
And they've done a great job hosting. Jeremy Smith has done a fantastic job there all week long. And Jeremy's in a bit of an odd situation this afternoon. Of course, his wife, Michelle, is the head coach for the Gillespie Miners softball team.
Right.
And I asked Jeremy the other day, I'm like, so are you going to Hillsboro for the title game on Saturday? Or are you going to be here? He's like, no. He's like, I'll be here. He's going to take care of all his duties there. Yeah. But I said, you realize, Jeremy, if you don't show up for the title game and they win, and then you show up for the sectional and they lose, it's your fault.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's so like, I'm well aware.
So the weight is on his shoulders.
That's exactly. Know? Who knew you could have pressure when you're not even playing?
Yeah. You know, I was sitting here thinking, Tim, while we was off the air, just a few short months ago, seemed like a very short time, we were talking about so many weeks until football Friday.
Goes so fast, doesn't it?
And here we are now. We're within, give or take, a game or two of being totally done with high school sports until football Friday, outside of a few, you know.
Right. And you never know the mentality of high school kids this time of year, because as Terry mentioned in our last segment, graduations have already gotten underway here, and sometimes once school is out, your attention starts to wane a little bit in terms of focusing on school athletics. You know, if your friends aren't on the team, they're out of school, they're on summer break, but here you are going to practice. And if you play football, basketball, and baseball, you've been practicing every day since August.
Since school started. And you had some pretty hot afternoons there last August when they, you know, had the first drills. And then the coach said, okay, boys, next week, full pads. We're going to go at it. And it's about 90 degrees out there. You have to have a severe, strong love for the game.
Yeah, if you don't want to be there, it'll eventually show.
Oh yeah, so you know, that's one of the things as announcers, perhaps maybe we realize a little bit more than the average fan, but the commitment that young lady or that young gentleman makes to be a high school sports participant, you know, it's just every day. You got such a short period of time between football and basketball, and then basketball and right into baseball and track.
Right.
And I realize we're talking about a very small percentage of the kids that are fortunate enough or good enough to attain that privilege of being on that team, but still in all, if it's just one person, it's a lot of dedication.
Absolutely. And you know, the fans, they show up, they watch the game for, say, 2 hours a night, but the kids have put in so many hours leading up to that game. I mean, you wind up practicing a heck of a lot more than the games you play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, along about thinking of basketball, along about mid-January, when you've got half of your schedule played and you've got a few nicks and bumps on your carcass, it begins to be somewhat of a grind to go out there every evening after school and sweat it out for a couple hours.
No doubt about it. So coming up today, our first broadcast, softball championship action, Gillespie taking on Southwestern. And Uncle Ralph, it was just last Friday when these two clubs met at Welfare Park in Gillespie. It was an 8-inning victory for Southwestern, snapping Gillespie's 15-game winning streak. And in that ball game, Hannah Wilfong, she had two home runs.
Yeah.
You don't often see that in softball. Two balls fly over the fence, but Hannah did that on that Friday afternoon. And I think a lot of times, certainly at the professional level and sometimes at the collegiate level when you get into the postseason tournaments, you don't necessarily want to be riding a super long winning streak.
No.
You know, sometimes it's good to maybe get a loss against a good opponent late in the season. Now, I don't necessarily think that applies to high school athletics as much as the professional or the college ranks, but perhaps in Gillespie's case, that wasn't the worst loss in the world, knowing more likely than not that you're going to be running in to Southwestern in the regional championship game, and that's exactly how it's worked out. So that'll be a very good competitive game this afternoon.
Should be, and you know, it's that time of the year when you run two good ball clubs out of there from various schools, and you realize when this happens, hey, somebody has to lose. Yep. Somebody wins, but when somebody wins, someone else has to lose. And as we mentioned off the air a while ago, Tim, if you are a senior girl or a senior boy, and that third out comes in the last of the seventh, and you have lost the game, all of a sudden the realization sets in, hey, I'm done.
Yep.
And very few athletes from the high school level, you know, get to go on and compete at the college level, because that is one giant step for mankind, yes, so to speak, from that high school field or gymnasium to the next level.
Absolutely. Even if you're just going, if you're playing Division III, the difference between Division III athletics and varsity high school athletics is night and day, like you're saying on Corral.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely different. The commitment level is different. The talent level, obviously, is much higher. So yeah, for a lot of these kids, their athletic careers on, you know, an organized level are winding down here.
I always remember when McGuire from Litchfield, who was an outstanding basketball player in high school, and he went on to play in college, and he said, the first thing I realized when I stepped out on that practice floor was, hey, all these guys are as good or better than I am.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, if you play at college, you were the best player on your team, not only in high school, but probably from the time, you know, you were 6 or 7 years old.
Right.
And then you step on that college floor and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Everyone's as good or better than I am.
Yeah. Yep.
So that'll be our first broadcast today, Gillespie and Southwestern softball. Game number two will be Southwestern Litchfield baseball from Gillespie. And Uncle Ralph, Southwestern is hot. They have won 8 of their last 9. They have secured a winning season under their manager, Brian Hansley, who just runs a top flight program over there at Southwestern. They're always competitive, and they have had a great postseason so far. They knocked off the top seed North Mac on Wednesday, but Uncle Ralph, on Monday, they played 13 innings in the quarterfinals against Gillespie. Wait, I should rephrase that. They played 12 and a half innings on Monday.
Yeah.
Ran out of sunshine and had to come back and play the bottom of the 13th on Tuesday, and they hung on for a 5-4 win, but they basically played 2 games in the quarterfinals, so I'm sure the Birds enjoyed their off days Thursday and Friday. They should be rested and ready to roll this afternoon.
Yeah, and that should be a heck of a ball game, as you said, Tim. And I'm always amazed that Southwestern, you know, it sets out there in what used to be a cornfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're competitive. Look at their girls' basketball teams, and they've had some outstanding football teams and boys' basketball, and now they're playing in the regional championship for baseball. And they just, they're out there kind of the gentle, quiet giant. They sit out there in the field, but when it comes time to play, they're ready to play.
And they just kind of go about their business. And needless to say, I don't know how many times this happened, but it's happened a number of times where the softball and baseball teams for Southwestern both playing for regional titles, and that's the case again this year.
Yeah, yeah. And they may both win, they may both lose. Who knows? We'll be smarter this afternoon.
And we'll be a heck of a lot smarter about 3 o'clock this afternoon, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Absolutely.
But it's a great time of the year, and it's also kind of a sad time of the year as you wind down the high school sports. It's a sad time for us because we're not going to have nothing to talk about. High school sports is a big part of our game here on Saturday morning. But if you're a senior, like we said earlier, you suddenly realize, hey, I'm done.
Right,
just like that, the lights.
Over. As quick as it was, it's over just as fast.
Like you said about Southwestern and Gillespie running out of daylight, well, you run out of time as a high school student, and all of a sudden, your 4 years is over, and if you're going to go on to college, you know, you have to adjust. And like a week or so ago, Tobin and I had a couple ladies from Lincoln Land, and they were talking about interviewing the graduates for fall semester college. And as you said a while ago about sports, you just play, play, play. And if you're getting an education, you just go to school, go to school, go to school for a long time.
That's right. And you mentioned a while ago, Uncle Ralph, about Litchfield having so many seniors. Of course, this senior class won a regional when they were sophomores back in 2010. And here they are as seniors, a chance to do it again. And Andy Kassenbaum in his first year as the manager for Litchfield, replacing, of course, the great Denny Scobie, who had tons of success in his 30-plus years as the manager for the Purple Panthers. And I would imagine Mr. Scobie will be in attendance this afternoon.
I would imagine he will be there eagerly hoping for another Panther victory.
Absolutely. So Litchfield, they've really been hot all year long, and you just hope that they can keep it rolling here this afternoon, because they haven't really had a down stretch all season. And sometimes maybe that can, you know, that can get in your head a little bit. Like if you get down early, like, sheesh, you know, we've been so good all year, but now we're losing. And you mentioned a Yogi Berra saying earlier, it ain't over till it's over. Another one that I was like, it's getting late early.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in postseason baseball, it can get late real early. If you get behind a couple runs in that first or second inning, next thing you know, you look up, it's the fifth or sixth.
You know, and there's so many. We could sit here and spend the rest of the morning talking about Yogi Berra, but another quote that he had that was really funny, he always said when Casey Single was the manager of the Yankees, he said, I can't understand that guy.
The great Yogi Berra.
Oh, man.
They're Yogi-isms.
One of a kind.
Yes.
And, you know, he looked, when he walked out on the field, he looked like anything but a baseball player. But there again, when it come time to step off, cross the line and play the game, he was ready.
And that's the great thing about baseball. You don't have to be the prototypical, you know, strapping 6'4", 235-pound athlete to play baseball. Many different shapes and sizes for some of the greatest baseball players of all time.
Look at going back before for our time, but look at Babe Ruth. He looked like anything but a ball player.
Think about the type of scrutiny Babe Ruth would be under today if he played today and did the same, lived the same way that he lived back then. Oh, my goodness. The media would be all over this guy.
Oh, yeah.
All over it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's eating hot dogs and drinking beers in between innings, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He'd have a lot of problems today.
Or drinking a lot of beer the night before the game, you know.
He was known to do that a time or two.
Yes, just a few times.
Worked out for him all right.
Yeah, he didn't have too bad a career, no. one of the best pitchers in the game turned out to be one of the best hitters in the game. And, you know, it's doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
You're either one or the other.
Well, the best pitcher in the game right now has to be Justin Verlander. There really can't be much debate about it. And he almost threw another no-hitter last night, got one out in the ninth inning before surrendering his first base hit. So he gets the complete game shutout and throws a one-hitter.
Which would have been his third, I believe. And he's not that old.
No, he's not. I mean, you can remember when they played the Cardinals, the Tigers, in the 06 World Series. That was really, I think, his coming out party on the national stage. And he really hasn't let up since that time. He's got such an overpowering fastball. I mean, he's throwing, there was a game earlier this year, a complete game he threw, his last pitch was 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, how many guys do you see in modern times, forget about throwing nine innings on a consistent basis, that are throwing 100 in the ninth inning?
If you get five or six innings anymore, you think it's a moral victory out of your pitcher. And I think this has got into big league pitchers' heads just a little, and they think about the fifth or sixth inning. Well, I'm done.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
I'm
right.
I throw two or three balls to this batter without throwing a strike. I'm done.
Well, the old quality start, six innings, three runs or less. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where that was an average outing.
Yeah.
Now it's considered a good outing.
Yeah. I think of, again, going back to the old-timers of some of the great pitchers, and Christy Mathews, who had 40 some complete games one year. can you even imagine that?
I mean, you can't even get 40 starts out of a guy.
No.
You know, if you get 30, you're happy.
Yeah.
But to throw 40 complete games. That...
And I'm sure he got beat in a few of those games, 8-7 or 10-9 or something like that, but he stayed in the whole game. They just didn't take you out. You just stayed and took your pounding or whatever.
And the game's so much more specialized now. Oh. You know, you got your bullpen set up with 7th-inning guys, 8th-inning guys, your closer, of course. So, yeah, if you can get that starter through 6, you really set your bullpen up. And that's part of the problem the Cardinals have had here, as they have really began to struggle these last couple of weeks. They're starting pitchers who were dominant the whole month of April. All of a sudden, they're getting through 5 or 6 innings, allowing 4 or 5 runs, and that just doesn't get the job done.
Well, I read an article in the paper, and it said it is the time of the year when the batters are catching up to the pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
And when the season starts, usually, you know yourself, the first month, pitching kind of dominates because the pitchers seem to get themselves geared to play the game a little quicker than the batter gets his eye back. But once he gets it back, then the playing field, so to speak, levels out again.
In the month of May, I think, is kind of when the grind starts. You know, that first month in April, you still kind of got the adrenaline and the good vibes, start of the season. But once you get into May, you start to recognize we got a long way to go.
Yeah, and I think... And I think I still believe the Cardinals should handle that division rather easily. But, you know, not all these guys are going to continue to be Bob Gibson. Some of them's going to fall by the wayside.
Well, it's already started.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got injuries to deal with now. Alan Craig's on the disabled list. Looks like they're going to lose Kyle McClellan for the year, unfortunately, with what looks to be his second possible Tommy John surgery, which really... It's just a shame, as he did so much for the club last year. He'll never get probably the credit that he deserves, but if he doesn't go into the starting rotation after Wainwright goes down and pitch like he pitched, they don't win the World Series last year. They're never in the position they were late if McClellan didn't pitch like he did the first 2 months of the year last season.
Yeah, and, you know, you have to look at what goes on at in April and May, as well as what goes on in August and September, because if it doesn't work in April and May, then you're not going to be there in August and September.
That's right.
You know, so, and speaking of outstanding careers and stuff, you know, regardless of what you think of the Yankees, everybody says the hated Yankees, but you know, you almost have to feel bad about a person or a pitcher like Mariano Rivera at the end of this career. That guy has been so dominating and so much fun to watch him come in there and do what he did with a limited amount of pitches.
Just one pitch.
Fastball.
Cutter.
And he's cutter. And you knew he was going to throw that to you, but you couldn't hit it.
That's right. He just saws you off.
Yeah.
Pitch after pitch.
Sawed the bat right off in your hands.
Oh, man. Good to hear that he's planning on coming back.
Yeah.
That's no way for one of the greatest pitchers of all time to go out blowing his knee out, shagging fly balls in batting practice. You don't want him to go out like that.
I would hope that, you know, he would go out with some respect of a decent year.
Yeah.
And then I think he's already made the commitment that he plans to retire. So, but, boy, he has set some spikes way up there.
He's setting records that won't be broken.
Yeah, for a long time. Yeah. You know, there's some records you think will never be broken. For instance, I would be amazed if anybody ever broke Joe DiMaggio's 56 hitting streak. How do you do that?
Well, exactly. I think you're right. I don't think that'll ever be touched. And part of the reason is because of the specialty now of the bullpens. You know, you don't get if you got a hitting streak and you're 0-3 coming up in the 7th or 8th inning, you're not going to be facing that starting pitcher more likely than not who's, you know, you've seen 3 times. You're going to be getting a nasty reliever coming out of that pen. So that makes it even much more difficult to extend a hitting streak like that. If you get to a 30-game hitting streak, you've really accomplished something.
And very few guys make that. You
know,
the guy you see where they've hit in 20-some games and the next thing you know, it's over with.
Someone could hit in 56 in a row. Could. I'll tell you what won't happen, Uncle Ralph, is what Fernando Tatis did in Los Angeles a number of years back. It was 98 or 99, can't remember exactly, when he hit 2 grand slams in 1 inning off the same pitcher. That, I would bet a large sum of money.
Yeah,
I'd bet Tobin Ott's entire paycheck
that
won't happen again.
Once in a while, somebody will hit 2 home runs in 1 inning,
right,
but not grand slams.
I mean, if you hit 2 grand slams in a game, that's unlikely. But to hit two in the same inning, it's just unfathomable. How did that happen?
Yeah.
How's it off the same pitcher?
No, it's, like you say, records are made to be broken, but there's some that probably will not be. Not too many of them. Who would ever thought that anyone would break Lou Gehrig's consecutive game, and then Brooks Robinson come along and not only broke it, but went way on past it.
Well, Cal Ripken, too.
Cal Ripken, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, that record will never be broken.
I would not think so.
No, that's not happening.
I do not think so, but then who knows?
No, Graf, you were talking about the Yankees a moment ago and about, you know, the hatred that a lot of people have for the Yankees. Honestly, I've never understood why so many people hate the New York Yankees. Sure, they win a lot. Sure, they spend a lot of money. But what they also do is put the money that the fans have given them
back into the team.
I mean, to me, that's what every fan should want from their club. You know, you get a team like the Pirates. They make profits every year. They make money, but they never put it back into the club. The Yankees consistently put money back into the team, and they make no bones about it. They want to win every year, and they'll do whatever is necessary to do it. I respect that. The team that I have no respect for is the Boston Red Sox, because they do the exact same thing, but then try to play woe is us. Oh, we got to compete against the Yankees, the evil empire. They're so bad. Well, you're doing the exact same thing. At least the Yankees have the guts to say what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, Boston, they go out, they get the high-priced guys. You know, they go out, they buy Adrian Gonzalez. They buy Carl Crawford. They buy all these players and then try to make it seem like they're the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
Please, get out of here.
Yeah, and you talk about the hate of the dreaded Yankees and the people that badmouth George Steinbrenner. Well, George Steinbrenner is the one that's got the money, but he's also the one that's pumping all the money back into the ball club.
That's right. I mean, that's what you want. And no matter the business endeavor, you want the people who are in charge to put money back into the company, put money, invest in the franchise. And the Yankees have done it better than anyone.
Yeah, and don't do as the some of the people did that they got the government bailout when they was broke, raise their executives' salary up.
Right.
Guys making 20, 21 million.
Well, they're doing a lot, Uncle Ralph. They were having trouble making ends meet.
Yeah, right.
They had to go to McDonald's and couldn't get the supersized meal.
Yeah,
it was rough for them.
Right.
It was rough. Have some compassion, Uncle Ralph. What's going on?
Well, I know it's rough, but anyhow.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. It's currently 79 degrees outside of our studios. We'll have a full check of your radar weather coming up next.
What are you doing May 18th, 19th, and 20th? Do you love motorcycles? If you do, this is your lucky day. Make plans now to come to Niehaus Cycle Sales for free Yamaha demo rides on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 18th through the 20th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. Niehaus Cycle Sales on Old Route 66 in North Litchfield. All you need to ride is a valid motorcycle license, a helmet, and appropriate clothing. Try it before you buy it. Take your turn on a Super Tenry or new VMAX. Maybe you want to test the Raider, Roadliner, Stratoliner, or V-Star 1300. Demos also include the FJR 1300, R1, R6, FZ1, and FZ6R. Meet the factory reps and check out our entire line of Yamaha parts and accessories, too. Right now at the Yamaha Get Out and Ride sales event, get up to $1,000 customer cash on select models and low financing on a wide selection of Yamaha motorcycles and ATVs. See dealer for details. Niehaus Cycle Sales Yamaha Demo Event. Call for details, 217-324-6565, or check them out online at niehauscycle.com. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 18th, 19th, and 20th. Try it before you buy it. Demo models subject to change. Call store for additional details.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal intention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
This check of WSMI radar weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Well, we're not going to find any rain showers across mid-Illinois. It doesn't appear, as right now nothing on the radar screen. A little band of rain showers right on the eastern edge of Kansas, but it is not looking real promising for us in mid-Illinois. Sunshine today with a high of 90. Clear skies tonight, that overnight low in the upper 60s. Sunday, we will see scattered showers possible in the afternoon, a high temp close to 90 degrees. Still some scattered showers possible Sunday night with overnight lows of 60. We are cooling off on Monday, high temps in the mid-70s with Monday night's low in the low 50s. We have hit 80 degrees outside of our WQSMI studios and the wind from the southeast at 5 miles an hour. This check of WQSMI radar weather has been brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Back to WSMI Sports Saturday we go. We got about 10 minutes left in the hour here on your Saturday morning. And Uncle Ralph, late last night in Los Angeles, the Cardinals lost the game about the worst way you could lose a game, with a bases loaded walk. Just awful. Yeah, what a terrible way to lose a game. The only way I think that you could lose a baseball game worse, and see if you agree with me, is if you balk in the winning run.
Yeah, that would probably be the next sacrificial lamb, so to speak. But that's a tough way to lose a game. But, you know, you look back on this season so far, and just go back 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Cardinals, for instance, were on a roll, and these kind of games were going in their favor.
Right.
Now, the last week or so, the momentum has shifted, and the other guy is getting these breaks. And, of course, they got beat by the Dodgers last night, but if you're looking for a team in Major League Baseball, two that come to mind that's really been a surprise are the Los Angeles Dodgers, yep, who have new ownership, and Washington. They have both came out of the gate. Washington's cooled off a little bit now, but the Dodgers look like they're for real.
They really do, and it's funny how just getting your ownership situation settled really appears to have just calmed that team down. I mean, they've got a talented roster. They had a talented roster last year, just couldn't really put it together, and of course they're out with without their all-star, should-have-been MVP center fielder Matt Kemp. He's on the DL with a hamstring injury, I believe, so the Cardinals don't have to deal with him this weekend. But they lost last night 6-5 on a bases-loaded walk after Lance Berkman had hit his first home run of the year with two outs to tie the game in the top, and then Fernando Salas comes in, walks three guys in the ninth inning, one of them intentional to load up the bases. But you cannot walk three guys your club just tied the ball game. Can't do it.
You're asking for all kinds of trouble when you do that. And what usually happens in those situations, Tim, is a relief pitcher will come in and walk a couple guys, and then he says to himself, well, I got to get the ball over the plate. So he starts easing up a little bit and
guiding it,
and somebody guides it all right, either out of the ballpark or up the alley somewhere, and you lose anyhow. That's what makes the, getting back to what we was talking about before we went on break, that's what makes the guys like Mariano Rivera so specialist. He comes in a game like that when he's, you know, when he was at top of his career, he comes in a game like that, just want to go home.
Over.
It's over.
It's over. Yeah. Not too many guys you can say, really, he's probably the only one where you can say, when he comes in, pack it up, let's go home.
Yeah, if you're in the ninth inning and there's he's pitching the ninth, or there's one or two out, you know, it just lights out. And those kind of guys are just, it's just hats off to them, you know. It's and the Cardinals, as I said a while ago, I think they're the best club in that division and should win it. But they're going to have some bumps and grinds along the way.
Absolutely. I mean, when you play 162 games over 6 months, there's going to be peaks, there's going to be valleys. And for first-year manager Mike Matheny, who, of course, has never managed on any level, these are the types of situations where you really find out what type of manager, what type of leader you're going to be. You got to keep the club together. No panic. And you don't see that in the Cardinals. The thing I like, even though they've been playing bad the last couple weeks, they're still not getting blown out.
Mm-mm.
I mean, they really haven't been blown out of any games. You know, they've gotten down. Like last night, they got down 3-0, came right back with 4 the very next time they were at the plate. We've seen that several times from them this year. They get down early, but they fight back. Their offense is going to keep them in a lot of ball games. They just need the starting pitching to pick back up and start carrying their load.
And you look at ball clubs that are doing well, or you expect to do well, and everybody's got, as I call it, a what if. And the Cardinals, their big what if would be if something would happen to Yadier Molina.
Oh man, they got a scare in Arizona a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that would be a what if for the Cardinals. You know, there are other players, good ball players, and they need them, but. That guy sitting behind the plate, not only how he receives the game back there or how he hits the ball, it's how he works that pitching staff. And Yadier is a master at this. And he has a big thing from all of the pitchers. He has their respect.
That's the most important thing. It's not often you see Cardinal pitchers shaking their head side to side. They never shake Yadi off. And the times they do, the ball winds up in the gap.
Well, he has made a study in his short career. He has made a study of opposing hitters. And who better to do that than your man behind the plate, your catcher? Who better to tell that pitcher, hey, Tim can't hit the ball low inside. You know, throw it down there, but keep it in the strike zone. He can't hit it.
Yep. And you can't lay off of it either.
Yeah. But you got to learn that. You have to learn that. And, you know, there's guys that are death on high balls, and, you know, and so you each individual that comes to bat is a little bit different.
Yeah, he's like a coach on the field. And Uncle Ralph, I'll defer to you. You've seen a lot more baseball than I have. But if Yadi puts together, say, 5 or 6 more years like he has to start his career, I think he's a Hall of Fame catcher.
Well, yeah, if he... You know, he reminds me, he's a throwback. He doesn't have the power
right
at this time. He may get more as he goes along, but he's a throwback to the Johnny Bench and that type of catcher who sits back there and calls a good game and comes up to bat and drives in the winning run. And, you know, he's Hall of Fame caliber. If his career stays where it's at
right now.
You know, he had – Yadier was a good receiver from the first time he went behind the plate, but he has had to work very, very hard to make himself a good hitter.
He's turned himself into a 300 hitter, and this was the case last year when Albert was on the team. He's not fast, so if it's a double play scenario, you don't necessarily like it. But if there's two outs and the game's on the line, I want Yadi up. I don't care who else you put in front of me. I will take Yadi every time – in a clutch situation. This guy just comes through in the biggest moments.
Well, the big thing is he puts a bat on the ball.
Yes.
He doesn't strike out a lot. And this is very important. And another thing that you can't overlook about Yadier Molina is his ability to keep that guy on first base in the late innings and not let him steal second and get into scoring position. You know, he is very adept. He has a very, very quick release. So when a guy steals a base, he usually doesn't steal it on Yadi. He steals it on the pitcher.
Right. Yeah, teams are really just giving up trying to run on Yadi.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea.
No.
Because you're going to be out. I mean, he'll throw you out. And he can even throw you out on what you would think would be a good pitch to run on.
Yeah.
You know, it could be a breaking ball in the dirt. He'll throw you out from his knees.
Yeah.
By 3 feet.
Oh, yeah. He's got a very, very strong arm. And he's just a complete ball player. And he has made himself a complete ball player. As I said, he was always top-notch defensive, but the other parts of the game he's had to work on very, very hard to make himself a better hitter, and the rest of the tools that a catcher needs to be a top-notch.
I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, a 15-20 home run guy, although his power has increased, but he's got double power.
Oh,
he's got gap power. He can put it down the lines. He could be a 25-30 double guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only thing holding him back there is he's slow afoot.
He's not going to get many triples.
No. No, unless he starts from second base.
That's right. But you know, the great thing about Yadi, another part of his greatness is he'll steal a bag. You know, if you don't pay attention to him, he'll beat the pitcher, get a good jump, and steal a bag. You would never think that he could steal a base, but he might steal five or six bases a year, and he's one of the slowest players in all of baseball.
Yeah, he's a very, very good student of the game, I guess is probably the best way to describe him. You know, you see players like that when they come up, maybe they've got one facet of the game, but they have to work on the others. And Yadi has done that very well.
Yep.
And he comes, another thing that doesn't hurt him, he comes from a very good baseball family.
Yes, he does. Both his brothers, catchers in the big leagues as well. And the good thing from the Cardinals' perspective is his brothers have gotten better with age.
Yeah.
So that's very promising for Yadi moving forward.
And they're probably... the Molinas are probably the latest family. You know, the DiMaggio boys, there were three of them played in the big leagues and was
pretty
was
rare.
Successful. And
pretty
it's
rare.
Pretty rare.
That's right. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. We got all sorts of championship baseball and softball coming up for you today on AM 1540. As in about 50 minutes, we'll have the Hillsboro softball title game, Gillespie and Southwestern, live coverage at 10:50. We'll follow that up from the Gillespie baseball regional title game, Litchfield and Southwestern, live coverage at 12:50. And then the Morrisonville title game wraps it up this afternoon, Nokomis and Morrisonville at 3 o'clock. All three games on AM 1540, and all three will be streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. For Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. We are out of time. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.